Exactly. We have three sheets of people signed up. I'm going to use a two-minute time to make sure that we have a decent interval for as many people to speak who would like to speak. And but also, if you do not respond when I call your name, then we will not have any hard feelings. We'll just move on to the next person.
Don't misunderstand my comment. I'm not trying to discourage you from speaking if you want to speak.
Right. But I think that very good. So I'm going to call several names, and as you hear your name, if you could come down to the front to make it more easy to get to the microphone when it is your turn, that would be wonderful. The light system, 3 minutes, the 2 minutes is your green light. When you get to the last 30 seconds, the yellow light will come on, and at the red light, please wrap up your comments and address your comments to the entire board, please. First is Chris Winter, followed by Dan Gritsko and Sindra Van Cleef. So please come down if you would like to address us this morning. And these are for matters not on the agenda later today.
Good morning. My name is Chris Winter. I live at 417B Woodhaven Court. I don't want to be too presumptuous here, but I have to ask the question, what is virtue? My understanding of virtue has led me to come before you this beautiful morning and stand firmly for its application. Though I cannot impose virtue where it is not valued, I feel it is my duty to speak for its merits. I do this in gratitude, having lived with virtue as well as living without it. All this being said, I can't help but bring up one of the more irresponsible ideas espoused by a political party some 20 years ago, that character does not matter in the vetting of our candidates for public office. Being a member of this party at the time, I was immediately put on guard by such a ridiculous and dangerous thinking. Most of our preeminent founders, such as John Adams and George Washington, led our country exemplifying truth and honesty and other traits that fall under virtuous life and good character. I agree with them when they base the success of our country's liberty on a virtuous public. Moral breakdown in those holding public office is best dealt with when the offender resigns their power for the good of the republic. This sets an example of humility, penance, and fair play. I cannot accept anything less due to my personal commitment to my family and my country. Please nip this in the bud. Hold your values high and show Albemarle County the same character and true leadership that guided our ancestors under Washington and Adams. Moral relativism is a sham in the context of remaining free. Thank you.
Thank you. Dan Gritsko is next.
Yes, I'm Dan Gritsko with the Scottsville Town Council.
This towards you a little bit.
Oh, sure.
Thank you.
Dan Gritsko with the Scottsville Town Council, Chairman Malik, the rest of the board. I'm actually excited to be here today, given the vote that you just did. I know that thrills a lot of people here in the audience, but I want to express, first of all, as the town of Scottsville, we have met recently to address this issue. You have in your packets a resolution that we had as a town that we had at a special meeting on Monday night. In that meeting, we heard from the residents, and also we heard from the communities of Keene, of Esmont, and Scottsville. We feel, as a town, that we have a vested interest in this issue, first of all, because of the proximity to the Keene site. So I'm very excited, and I know a lot of our residents will be excited, that you're going to consider this further in your committee. But also, as a town, as several have already mentioned, we have an opportunity, possibly, to have an aspect of your firing range be in our town. So if you see the second part of our resolution, you will notice that that is something that we mentioned. And I would like to read that just so it's not very long and those in the public can also hear it. The Scottsville Town Council, having met pursuant to notice of special meeting on Monday, February the 4th, 2013, for the purpose of considering community concerns regarding the proposed firing range to be located at the Keene landfill. All having heard the views expressed at said meeting does hereby resolve, while the council cannot, number one, while the council cannot judge the validity of the concerns expressed It regards those concerns as serious and deserving of the most careful consideration by the Albemarle County Board of Supervisors, including consideration of alternative sites. And two, without prejudging the matter, the town council would be open to consideration of a fully enclosed, environmentally neutral firing range within the town of Scottsville. And we had a vote of 6-0 on that. So simply put, we would be happy to be involved in the process that you're considering alternatives. Please contact our town administrator. Let us know if you have any questions, or if you have any questions for me right now, I'd be happy to answer them.
Very much.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, let's not take time with that, please. Sandra Van Cleef is next, followed by Nancy Artland, Eric Arman, and Ellie Thomas. Sorry for the bungling of names.
Good morning. I am Sandra Van Cleef. I grew up in a small river town and watched many barges piled high and heavy with coal plow through the Ohio River. We knew not to ever get in the way of a barge. They were large, heavy, and unforgiving. This proposed firing range is one big barge. You can continue to change its course, and the good citizens of Southern Albemarle, strengthened with strong research, strong facts, and strong resolve, will continue to help push this barge towards an appropriate destination. You may recall Shirley Jackson's The Lottery as one of the most terrifying short stories ever written. What is so terrifying is not that it is extraordinary, but that it is so ordinary. A perfectly lovely modern community has retained an unwarranted belief that it must hold a lottery at the beginning of the growing season to ensure a good harvest. The town folk gather as if they are attending an ice cream social. The one who draws in the lottery, the paper with the black circle, is summarily stoned to death. The saddest part of the story is that no one had to be sacrificed. Please do not force Southern Albemarle to draw the black circle. No farmer, no grandmother, no teacher, and no school child playing in the schoolyard needs to be sacrificed. Thank you.
Nancy Arvlin, please correct the, look at that. Please correct my spelling and pronunciation for your name. Thank you.
My name is Nancy Arlen. I live at 920 Irish Road in Scottsville, right outside of Scottsville. I'm speaking for Sarah Donnelly. A prepared statement was here. However, I'm simply going to say thank you for your reconsideration of the firing range. In addition, I want to say how profoundly disappointed I have been in Christopher Dummler. When we needed your leadership and your support, you were not there for us. I am hopeful that the citizenry, that you will respond and do the honorable thing. But I personally am profoundly disappointed in you.
Eric Arlen is next, and I would remind you to please make your comments directed to the entire board. Thank you.
Eric Arlen, Scottsville, 920 Irish Road. That's A-R-L-L-E-N. I want to thank you for your action this morning to take at least part of the key landfill off the table for the police firing range. I would encourage you, now that you've gotten down to the two-yard line, to get the ball across the goal line and don't apply Zeimerge's theorem to this whole thing. You may not be familiar with that. Zeimerge's theorem states that when you open a can of worms, it's very difficult to get them back in the can. If you go into this landfill, God knows what you're going to find when you begin construction for an enclosed site. I'm all in favor of an enclosed site, and there are many, many possibilities in the area to do that. You're going to have a mess on your hands if you choose Keene, and I think that if you paid attention to the action of the local citizenry with regard to this particular circumstance, I would say you ain't seen nothing yet. So please pay attention. Thank you.
Ellie Thomas is next, followed by Bill Tutter and Peter Way.
Good morning, Supervisors. My name is Ellie Thomas, and I'm here this morning on behalf of the Virginia Cooperative Extension and our Master Gardener program to thank you for your funding and to update you on upcoming events in 2013. Virginia Cooperative Extension brings the resources of Virginia's land-grant universities, Virginia Tech, and Virginia State University to the people of the Commonwealth. Understanding that knowledge is power, we place that power in the hands of Virginians and help them learn how to use it to improve the quality of their lives. As we do each spring, the Master Gardener program in Albemarle and Charlottesville will soon be training 22 new volunteer educators to serve Charlottesville and Albemarle. These Master Gardener volunteers will participate in 30 different projects that protect our water quality and natural resources, provide lifelong learning opportunities about home gardening and horticulture, and promote a healthy lifestyle in our community. Every year, Master Gardener volunteers answer hundreds of gardening questions through calls and emails and people who come to our horticulture help desk at the Extension office. We also take the service into the community at farmers markets and other major events. This year, we have plans to serve the Charlottesville City Market to help the public be environmental stewards through gardening, as well as continue our outreach at various farmers markets throughout the area. This year, we'll teach classes and workshops to children and adults, including at-risk populations. We'll host a spring lecture series on gardening that's open to the public. We're starting a new after-school gardening program at an elementary school for third and fourth graders. And in 2013, we'll also reach out to the growing Latino population in Charlottesville and Albemarle. We ultimately serve over 6,000 people through our diverse horticulture education projects. Thank you again for your funding support, and we look forward to a successful and busy year ahead. And if you have any questions, we're always happy to answer them.
Thank you, and great to meet you in person.
Thank you very much.
Bill Tunner is next, followed by Peter Way and Forrest Marshall.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Bill Tunner from Esmont. Thank you so much for reconsidering the proposed training facility at the Keene Landfill. A brief review of objections of a multi-phase training complex of whatever kind at Keene is appropriate at this time. The unlined 40-year-old landfill is a toxic threat if disturbed. A potential love canal, check it out at Google, invites a Superfund cleanup paid for by the county. The toxic noise pollution from unrelenting staccato gunfire on local neighbors and children at two nearby schools would be intolerable. I've told you before of the devastating effects of noise on children. Poorly remediated lead can poison local wells and the Scottsville water supply. The financial cost to create a properly covered facility on this property with a high water table, adjacent wetlands, and no infrastructure is far greater than that of a better suited location in the county. A long-standing multi-generational neighborhood and surrounding rural areas with livestock needs to be respected, protected. We now know that their real estate value of these farms and home equity values would be reduced by a predictable 30 to 40% if the planned project were to proceed. Who's going to compensate the losses? Your Planning Commission spokesperson last week advocated protecting green space, avoid any impact of a negative nature on neighborhoods, preserve water quality at all costs. The growing number of those opposing any first responder training facility at Keene Landfill now exceeds 1,500 county residents, including the Albemarle County Medical Society. Why don't you build the chief a covered first-class facility like the public-private Colonial Shooting Academy in Richmond, which includes the Tactical Training Center? Thank you.
Peter Way is next, followed by Forrest Marshall and David Hickle. Good morning.
Good morning. My name is Peter Way. I've been a resident of the Scottsville District for over 50 years. 10 of those years, I served on this board, and it was a great honor to do so. I'm here regretfully. I wish I was not standing before you at this time, but I felt compelled to speak. I appreciate the action that you took earlier today. The censure vote, I think, is appropriate. Mr. Snow, I appreciate your vote. People are elected to the Board of Supervisors for various reasons, for positions on issues, personality, and decorum, and most importantly, for their judgment on many things, especially judging right from wrong. On this last criteria, I believe that Mr. Dummler has tragically failed. Two members of the board do not feel that he should resign. Others do. And they said that they felt that he had lost his credibility, and I agree with that. I would go further and say it brings his credibility to the people of the Scottsville District into question. His credibility to many people throughout the county has been brought into question, and even beyond that, throughout the Commonwealth. Your reputation as a board, I believe, has been seriously damaged. And one more thing. I believe that Mr. Dummler has lost the wonderful opportunity to be a role model for the youth of the children of the Scottsville District. I hope that Mr. Dummler will do the honorable thing and resign from the board in the best interest of the board and the people of Albemarle County. I hope he will have some life changes and have a good life in another capacity. I understand that there are petitions that are being circulated. I hope that they are successful in their efforts to do that. Thank you, Madam Chairman.
Ladies and gentlemen, we do not have applause in these meetings. Thank you very much. Mr. Marshall.
My name is Forrest Marshall. I live at 2356 Scottsville Road, which is Argyle Farm. I want to say that I second everything Peter Ways just said. I also talked to Lindsay Doria, and between the three of us, we represent approximately 40 years on the Board of Supervisors. I am very much disappointed in Dennis and you for not supporting the other members of this board in getting rid of Mr. Dummler. I personally demand that you leave this board. It is a slap in the face to me who haven't served there, and it has compromised the decisions of every other board member on here. I didn't serve in jail, and I don't think Lindsay did, and I know Peter Wade didn't, but I think we did a lot of good for the county. My understanding is you don't even own property in Albemarle County. If you do, I'd like to know where it is, and I'd like to know what your purpose for wanting to serve under these conditions is. It is totally, totally disrespectful to citizens of Albemarle County as well as other members of this board. This county, Albemarle County right now, is at the lowest point of its political morality that I've ever seen. I am very much upset about it. I hope that you'll do the right thing. If you don't, I think you're in for a big, bad time. You're leaving yourself wide open for blackmail. And some of these women that you supposedly have accosted, the more you stay in the limelight, you're going to get one of them eventually coming out and saying it is not that bad for me to go out and testify, and they're going to testify against you, and you're going to wind up serving some serious jail time. So I think the smart thing for you to do is get off right now.
David Hickel is next, followed by Jan Caron and Laurel Davis.
Good morning. Had a speech prepared, but it's irrelevant now. So I just want to take the opportunity to thank each and every one of you. I look forward to shaking all your hands whenever I run into you on the street. Thanks a lot.
And Karen, Laurel Davis, Helen Peranzino, and Deborah Cara. Kern.
Lady and gentlemen, My name is Jan Karen, and I live at Esmont Farm on Esmont Farm Road. I speak to you today not from anger or fear or even from grievance, but from my heart. The word supervisor has profound meaning. Each one of you is, in effect, watching over us, seeking, we believe, our best interests, for we are your people and we are your neighbors. It's a tremendous responsibility you have and a privilege as well, I think. I'd like to say that we in the Keene vicinity are not a food stamp community. We are a proud historic neighborhood with many properties dating to the late 1700s and many of which are listed on the National Register. We are an historic district. Not everybody gets to be an historic district. A hard-working, family-oriented community with a true love of rural beauty. I want to thank you today in advance for choosing to allow this proud part of our county to go unmolested by any form of firing range, open or closed, or any other of the ills proposed for this site. And I want to thank you also for your willingness to hear our many voices and to listen to our heartfelt concerns. Thank you.
Laurel Davis is next.
Good morning. I'm Laurel Davis, and it's my birthday, and indulge me in making a birthday wish, which I think it seems you've already granted. So I'm going to read this in a totally different state of mind than what I thought I would. My wish is that when my daughter tends her ducks and wanders the garden on a hot summer's eve, all she hears is the riot of tree frogs and the lone mockingbird that perches at the top of the cedar, because this is as it should be. My wish is that when my friends, Helen and Susan, go out in the evenings to tend to their horses, all they hear is their beasts' soft nickerings, their throaty calls and gentle snufflings, because this is as it should be. My wish is that eloquent 8-year-old Michael, who lives down the road, should feel a proud part of a responsive democracy and unafraid in his shamblings of wonder-filled discovery through forest and field, because this is as it should be. My wish is that when the children of Yancey are on the playground, all they hear is their own ballyhooing and laughter, their ruckus and rumpus and sneakers padding through the grass, because this is as it should be. My wish is that when my newest neighbor, wee Ben, wakes in his snug home in the morning, his tender ears are filled only with the sounds of his mother and father, his rooster crowing, his hens cackling and gabbling in the yard, because this is as it should be. My wish is that our peace remain intact, not be shot through with fear and left in tatters. My wish is that you let us keep our peace, because this is as it should be. Thank you.
Thank you. Ellen Perenzino is next, followed by Deborah Karn.
Good morning. I come with a different message for you this morning. My husband and I we're in Langhorne Road in Scottsville. We came to Albemarle County because of all the wonderful things it offers us. It offers us the city of Charlottesville with the cultural. It offers us the city of Charlottesville with the medical needs that we may have to face one day. But we chose the rural southern end of Albemarle County because of all that it offered us there. The quiet, the peace, the beauty, It is just the most wonderful place we have ever lived, and we hope to keep it that way. We thank you so much today for your vote not to give us the constant drumming of gunfire and a police training, open training facility down there. We hope that you will strongly consider the tire plant in Scottsville. It is would be such a wonderful thing for our little town and for the people in our little town. Thank you so much for your consideration today and for your time.
Thank you. Edward Karn, please clarify your last name for me.
Good morning. My name is Deborah Kara, K-A-R-A. I have a 90-acre farm on Irish Road in Esmont, and my backyard of my property, if you walk through my woods, would come to the site that you were looking at in Keene. I'm very grateful for your vote this morning, and I wanted to say I'm very appreciative also of the idea of asking some of the citizenry to join in your group to take a look at some of your alternatives. This has been a very, very tough 6 months for us, but I'm very proud of the fact that our group, it's been an amazing experience to see a community pull together where many of us did not know each other across all party lines. We have every extreme of a viewpoint, and we've been able to come together and work out our differences. We've had meltdowns, we've had tears, but we've also rallied always for the same goal, and that is to protect and preserve why we all love and cherish where we live and our agriculture way of life, our rural way of life. And I think that we all share the view that was espoused earlier by the Monticello group and by Mr. Jefferson that we want to preserve that. It's why we live here, it's why we move here, and we don't want to see our county be just become completely commercialized and lose that beauty that we have. I also want to take a quick moment to thank Chief Sellers for opening a dialogue with us, continuing one, and for allowing us to meet with him and express our concerns and being cordial about that and considering them. I think that that's been very beneficial to us all. And I just want to thank you again for hearing us and allowing us to come and speak and hearing us and hearing us and hearing us. Thank you.
You're welcome. Our next speaker is Dennis Parenzino, followed by Charles Winkler and D.G. Van Cleef.
Yes, good morning. My name is Dennis Parenzino. My wife Helen and I live at Sherland Farm, 1.1 miles from the proposed police firing range, along with over 1,500 of our neighbors. We oppose a firing range at Keene. Naturally, we are very pleased with your decision this morning, and we believe taking a fresh look at the alternatives is the proper course of action. We nonetheless believe that the Keene site is unsuitable for any type of firing range. We recognize how difficult it is to change course, and we are grateful for you for having listened and for taking action. Thank you again for persevering with this very difficult problem.
Welcome. Charles Winkler, D.G. Van Cleef, Joe Geek, Barbara West, all coming up.
Thank you and good morning. Charles Winkler, city resident. Madam Chair, esteemed supervisors, I ask you to pause in your official agenda today to consider for a moment the meaning and demands of the word honor as you fulfill your duty to all of us citizens, those here today and those in the community at large. We use the word honor casually every day, as in, do me the honor of attending, or we've honored your request, but the signatories of our Declaration of Independence pledged their sacred honor as they fought to free us from tyranny and create the system of government you yourselves embody here today. They were men of honor. Webster says that honor is a good name or public esteem, one whose worth brings respect or fame, as in an honor to the board. Honor is a keen sense of ethical conduct or integrity, with examples such as he would not do it as a matter of honor, he's a man of honor. Synonyms include honesty, integrity, rectitude, and uprightness. Antonyms, or the opposite of honor, include baseness, dishonor, and lowness. Many of our nation's institutions speak of honor. For example, the mission of the Boy Scouts of America is to prepare young people to make ethical and moral choices over their lifetimes by instilling in them the values of the Scout Oath and law. And the word honor appears in the Scout Oath as follows. On my honor, I will do my best to do my duty to God and my country and to obey the Scout law, to help other people at all times, to keep myself physically strong, mentally awake, and morally straight. And taking the Eagle Scout Oath, a young person swears, I reaffirm my allegiance to the three promises of the Scout Oath. I thoughtfully recognize and take upon myself the obligations and responsibilities of an Eagle Scout. On my honor, I will do my best to make my training an example, and my status and my influence count strongly for better scouting and for better citizenship in my troop, in my community, and in my contacts with other people. To this I pledge my sacred honor. Our nation's military, which I'm proud to have served for more than 30 years as a civilian, and the United States Army's Judge Advocate General Corps, in particular, the Army's lawyers, require its officers to be of good moral standing and character. In short, the JAGS Corps expects its officers to be men and women of honor. Sacred honor, ethical conduct, ethical and moral choices, integrity, duty, gallantry, good moral standing and character. I respectfully ask you to consider carefully what these mean to all of you as our elected representatives and what they mean to our community at large and what they require of you. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. D.G. Van Cleef is next.
Good morning. My name is D.G. Van Cleef. I live in the Esmont area of Southern Albemarle County. I have been a frequent and regular speaker at these meetings in opposition to the planned firing range and the subsequent training phase construction that was planned or is planned, I believe, still at the Keene Range. And it's very nice to be able to shift gears this morning and say thank you instead of just speaking in opposition. In handing out some thanks, and I think I speak for my family and hopefully for our community, I want to thank our friends and neighbors in Scottsville, Mayor Grove and his councilman, who had a special meeting Monday night. You heard the resolution they passed from Mr. Gritsko earlier. Also, all of my neighbors, the 1,500, as you've heard, who have now put their names to the petition in opposition to the facility which was planned. Also, Colonel Sellers reached out back in November to our group. We think those have been very productive dialogues, and I want to thank our chief of police, his senior officers, for that outreach. It's been a good discourse. We think we've learned, and we think he's listened well to our concerns. And last but not least, I want to thank Chairman Malik and each of you on the board for listening to us. I think and I hope you'll find our community as enthusiastic in supporting your consideration of alternatives. We have promised from the get-go that we wanted to be a productive community, and we do want to see our police departments properly trained in the right kind of facility. We said we would help with alternatives, and I hope that you'll find us as true to our word as we have been in opposition. Thank you very much for your consideration this morning.
Thank you. Next, good morning.
Good morning. I'm Joe Geek. I'm a voter in the Scottsville district. I'm here just to support Peter and Forrest and what they have to say here. I think that's in really appreciate the hard work that the board does and appreciate what you've done as far as the censure motion. I guess I was a little bit disturbed of what I've been reading is the fact that this was a mistake he made. To me, a mistake, you dial a wrong number. This is sexual assault. And that he's a hard worker. Well, the guys down in Richmond making license plates are hard workers too, but it doesn't mean they should be on the Board of Supervisors. We've already seen the federal level where you've got Geithner doesn't pay his taxes, but yet he's a Secretary of the Treasury. You got enough money, you can buy your way on the Board of Visitors and smudge the integrity of the university with this. But I think the message that this sends on the local level, the censure is huge with this. But I think that's what we as voters expect. We expect accountability, integrity, responsibility, and trust. Those are things that we really expect with this. And I think that I'd call on Mr. Dummler to resign his position from that aspect of it, because again, if without this, you're just—it's a distraction and dishonor to the Board of Supervisors. Thank you.
Barbara West is next, followed by Thomas Polder and Jerome Beasley.
Thank you. Thank you. Good morning. My name is Barb West, and I would like to thank all of you for your vote to not proceed with the open-air firing range at Keene. Thank you. I would respectfully ask you all to remember what rural means. Rural does not mean concentrated populations of people or industries creating noise or generating lots of traffic. Any Keene firing range with its subsequent four phases is diametrically opposed to everything rural stands for. Please choose to maintain the beautiful and unequaled rural atmosphere that has been preserved to date. People from all over the country, in fact, all over the world, seek out this rural area for its unrivaled beauty, its wildlife, and its tranquility. These rural areas provide the organic produce, meats, milk, cheese, and dairy area markets sell and residents enjoy. Please help preserve our rural areas. For these and many reasons, the firing range does not fit at Keene in any way, shape, or form. Please consider the alternatives that do fit, like the Scottsville Tire Plant. Thank you very much.
Thomas Polder?
Morning. I originally came to oppose the firing range in Keene, and I'm very happy that you made some decisions this morning. I wasn't expecting that, and I'm quite frankly proud of you acting so quickly. I wish you could load a van and take you all to Washington and teach them how to do it up there. So thank you very much, each and every one of you. Thank you.
Welcome.
Oh, thank you.
Yes, I don't care to go to Washington ever. Jerome Beasley, Paula Beasley, Thomas Donnelly, our next speakers.
Well, thank you very much. Thank you for taking the firing range off the table here. And we believe that when you fully evaluate the many disadvantages of locating a firing range at Keene site that we have noted over the past few months will guide you to find a more acceptable solution to meet the county police needs and to put the Keene site on the endangered species list. As a businessman who analyzes income statements in the course of my investment business, it's my view you have an opportunity to save the county millions of dollars in unnecessary infrastructure and mostly particularly the significant road, stormwater management, and drainage costs necessary to build a new building at the Keene site. These costs are not necessarily associated to building an indoor range at any appropriate site within a development area. Building an indoor range within a development area, especially if you seek to refit an existing manufacturing or similar building no longer in use, will provide significant economic boost to the area and jobs for maintenance and operations of the building for local restaurants, gas station stores, resulting in added tax revenues to the county. Further, if the county seeks to forge a public-private partnership, which I would encourage you to seriously consider, and on a limited basis provide public opportunities to use the range, the county might realize additional cost savings by these funding opportunities, which would be most beneficial at a time when the county is so pressed to fund its many infrastructure needs. To minimize infrastructure costs, one has to look at no less than 10 miles from Keene at Scottsville. It has significant infrastructure that will reduce your costs and would be the only private facility of this nature within 50 miles given the current infrastructure. So in conclusion, thank you very much for putting it on the table, and we appreciate your work that you've done. Thank you.
Welcome. Paula Beasley, followed by Thomas Donnelly.
My name is Paula Beasley, and that's spelled with a Z, and I want to thank you so very much for your vote eliminating consideration of an outdoor firing range. It's been a long 5 months, but we appreciate your responsiveness. We wholeheartedly support your decision to evaluate alternative sites other than Keene for an indoor firing range, for your responsiveness to save rural Albemarle, to which I proudly am a member. Thank you for your courage and leadership in making this decision. As you proceed in the coming months to consider alternative sites, please consider how inappropriate the Keene site is. It sits in the heart of southern rural Albemarle, accessed by a rural rustic road with a no more than 3-ton bridge, zoned as rural, with a historic black community, Yancey Elementary School, and permanently preserved conservation lands on one hip and large cattle farms on the other hip. At its foot is a medical clinic, a proposed future intergenerational facility, and an agricultural forestal district. Two other communities, a more than 50-year-old riding club, Masonic lodges, and churches also are in the vicinity. It is part of the Southern Albemarle Historic District. These are sleepy little communities, many existent for more than 100 years, who have grown up and loved the rural areas and the quality of life it provides, lack of infrastructure notwithstanding. For us, that is perfectly okay. This is rural land you are charged to preserve and protect. We have historic assets you are charged to preserve. It is not a development or industrial area with its accompanying noise, traffic, and bustle. A firing range does not belong here. The danger of disturbing a poorly defined land cap. So again, we thank you very much, and we look forward to working with you in the coming months to bring this to a positive resolution. Thank you.
Thomas Donnelly is next, followed by Charles Baddick, Pat Napoleon, and Lisa Bittner.
Madam Chairman, gentlemen, good morning. My name is Tom Donnelly. I live on Forsyth Road in Esmont, and I was here prepared to offer some technical discussion on why we oppose the firing range at the landfill. I think I can spare us all the pain of listening to my technical mathematical talk. Given the very good news of your actions this morning, I just want to say on a personal note, my wife and I have lived on a small farm on Forsyth Road for the past 35 years. We've raised our children here. We've sent them to Yancey School, to Walton. This farm has been in the family for 100 years. We were planning to spend our golden years sitting on the porch, playing with our grandchildren, perhaps, God willing, even with our great-grandchildren. I hope and pray that your initial steps today will be helpful to us to realized that dream. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Charles Baddick is next.
Good morning. Charles Baddick here again, slightly different topic. I just want to point out to you, I've been here many times, and everybody notices that you sit on a raised area here, the DS. This is traditional because the people that put you here with their votes and their money respect you, respect your honor, and you're placed above us symbolically. Together with that is the inherent assumption of a certain level of intellectual integrity, intelligence, and moral character. We disagree, as many times as I've spoken here, but those are the givens. Mr. Rucker, you pointed out that all politicians are not perfect. That's absolutely true. We're watching on live TV, I think, the past 2 days in Florida, a senator there being accused once again of sexual crimes. See how that plays out. But the specific nature of what Mr. Dummler has confessed to is in a particular category. It's not the same thing as driving 50 in a 40-mile-an-hour zone and have that on your record. UVA has courses on this, I'm sure. So we have a very specific crime against women. Normally, I would expect the women here with their children to be somewhat embarrassed to be seeing somebody convicted of such a crime here, facing them up on this raised platform at every meeting. Earlier generations were known as having the right stuff, the generations that really gave on basis of honor, self-sacrifice, and this is what we expect. So this is a particular nature that we're talking about of crime, and that's why it's different. So it's perhaps Mr. Dummler missed these things. He's of a younger generation, perhaps, but it's still not too late to do the right thing, step down, and not smile your way through all these discussions. Thank you.
Thank you. Matt Napoleon is next, followed by Lisa Bittner and Diane Weber.
Good morning. I'm Pat Napoleon. I'm a county taxpayer and former employee, having completed 30 years as a teacher within the Albemarle County Schools. I occupied a position of trust in caring for innocent minor children on a daily basis. My teaching career began when I was barely out of my teens, yet I knew if I were ever to betray the trust of those under my watch, I should be asked to leave my position. As elected board members, you are role models. While you occupy positions of trust and also leadership, a vile and hurtful act has occurred in the community. Mr. Dummler has admitted guilt before the court in violating a woman's body. No one held a gun to his head and pressing him to admit guilt. Now he has been ordered to jail. Ladies and gentlemen, just because someone is allowed to remain on the board doesn't make it okay. Just because someone is cleared in a psychological evaluation doesn't guarantee that all will forever be safe. As a board member, one must be trusted in being alone with people. You must be trusted in entering any public building, including elementary, middle, and high schools. Men, children, and women must feel safe with board members. In this situation, there's too much baggage. There are too many distractions and also too much history. I'm tired also of viewing a smile. There's nothing to smile about. Mr. Dummler, you need to do the right thing in tendering your resignation as soon as possible. Thank you.
Thank you. Lisa Bittner is next, followed by Diane Weber and Emily Hedberg. Okay, Lisa, are you here? I will check her off. Diane Weber, are you here?
Good morning. My name is Diane Weber, and I live in Albemarle County, and like Mr. Peter Way, I'm not happy to be here either. I'd like to ask Chris Dummler to do what is honorable.
Raise your microphone.
Up a little closer.
I'd like to ask Chris Dummler to do what is honorable and step down as Albemarle County Supervisor. The individuals that we elect to office should be worthy of their elevation. They should reflect the best in all of us. Their moral qualities signal to the rest of us what is acceptable behavior. Is Mr. Dummler the example we wish to set for our children and our young people? Here's the message that Mr. Dummler, by his continued presence here, sends. Get yourself elected as an Albemarle County Supervisor, and you have a free pass to commit sexual battery, to willfully harm other human beings, and there are no public repercussions. The individuals, the people that are missing this morning, are the victims of Supervisor Dummler. The victims seem to have gone by the wayside. They are now merely an interference and an inconvenience, and they are inconsequential in the path of Mr. Dummler's political career. Convicted sexual offenders have no place in Albemarle County politics. I am hoping that Mr. Dummler does the right thing and steps down. I would like to thank the supervisors who voted to ask Mr. Dummler for his resignation. And I would also like to thank Peter Way and Forrest Marshall for their solid show of support, and for Lindsay Doyer for adding to that support. Thank you.
Emily Hedberg.
Good morning. Thank you for allowing me to speak. I do not want Dumbler to sit on the Board of Supervisors. I do not want him to represent me on this board. I come from the Scottsville District. This man has disgraced himself and the office he holds. The fact that Dumbler does not plan to step down shows me and the people who have voted for him that he no longer respects the position he holds on this board. Dumbler is thumbing his nose on all of us and to the backers who trusted in him. What kind of message is Dumbler sending to our college and high school students? That it is okay to break the law and to be convicted and still okay to hold an elected position? Does not the board have a written code of ethics that states once convicted of a crime, he or she no longer can serve on the Board of Supervisors? If Dumbler is allowed to serve out his term, I say shame on all of you. Where is your moral code to allow such blatant disrespect to continue? Dumbler has proven he has no moral compass because he was arrested and convicted of an immoral act. Once again, I say, I do not want Dumbler sitting on the Board of Supervisors. I do not want Dumbler representing me on this board. And I thank you.
Our next speaker is Mary Agnes Johnson, followed by Rachel Clark and Dolores Rogers. Ms. Johnson, are you here?
Good morning to you all. I am Mary Agnes Johnson, and I live at on White Diamond Lane at Scotland Farm in Esmont. And I'm also very grateful to you for considering big capital C, the unintended consequences of your decision. And I think that you will be given all sorts of support and enlightenment from what you refer to as the citizenry, because we certainly have been energized in order to protect what we hold dear. One of the things that I'd like to mention in connection with the Keene landfill facility, irrespective of whether it's closed or thank God not being considered as an open range, but there is a very unique difficulty at the intersection of Route 6 and 626. At one point, I noticed that there was a difficulty having 6 seconds between a car traveling 45 miles an hour down Route 6 east in the western direction, and when somebody comes on 626 turning right, you can't see that person because of the way that the terrain is located. And I think that also must be taken into consideration. I've seen 3 close calls in the past, going back as far as 1987, and recently again. So thank you very much for thinking about that also.
Thank you. Good. Our next speaker is Rachel Clark, followed by Dolores Rogers and John Eichenberger. It's Rachel. There she is. Okay.
Hi, I'm Rachel Clark. I live in Esmont. I've lived in Southern Albemarle my whole life, and I won't waste your time, but I just wanted to say thank you for reconsidering. That's all.
You're welcome.
Thanks.
Dolores Rogers.
Good morning. My name is Dolores Rogers. I reside at 777 James River Road. Totier Creek runs right past the property. I walk my dog down to the creek every day. I came here this morning prepared to really yell at you all about this outdoor range. And now I'm here to say thank you, particularly thank you, Supervisor Demler, for all the hard work you've done on bringing the range, the indoor range in Scottsville, to the attention of the board. Even in the worst of times, you continue to work for your district. I hadn't planned to address anything else, but since I'm here, what the heck? We, as a nation, have a long history of flawed politicians. We, as a nation, have a long history of flawed leaders. If we began to remove everybody who ever disabused or took women for granted, we wouldn't have a Declaration of Independence. May I point out to you that while he was yet a young man, our very own Thomas Jefferson was busy chasing his best friend's wife in her dressing gown around her bedroom, and we won't even discuss Sally Hemings and her children. We love our politicians. They're flawed. We get disappointed in them, but they carry on. I think the time has come. If you want a lamp dog, you need to buy one. Otherwise, if you don't live in Scottsville and you're not in the Scottsville district, you need not bother with telling us who can represent us. Finally, I would encourage the ladies and gentlemen who have spoke before me to channel their moral outrage to the fact that 40 years on, we still have not got an equal rights amendment for women. If you want to be outraged about something, please be outraged for that. And thank you again for protecting my creek and my dog, and keep up the good work.
Von Eichenberger is next, followed by Morgan Butler and Chuck Bolt.
First off, I'd like to thank the board for your decision regarding the open range. However, as a professional engineer with over 20 years' experience, I remain concerned about the suitability of the Keene site for any construction. The NRCS has rated the on-site soils as a poor source of construction material that are prone to erosion and unsuitable for embankment construction. Furthermore, the NRCS has also classified these soils as acidic silt loams with a high runoff potential. Lead is soluble in acidic conditions. This means that lead particulates introduced into the environment during range operations will readily dissolve and be mobilized by stormwater. This will impact adjoining wetlands and perennial streams that serve as a Scottsville water supply. Any design to locate a firing range adjacent to the closed Keene landfill will require significant soil excavation. I am concerned that this will affect the integrity of the closed landfill and create groundwater seeps along the down gradient toe of the landfill. This could affect the closure status of the landfill under the open dump criteria of the DEQ solid waste regulations. Furthermore, I have direct experience working with a municipality that has been cited for violating their MS4 permit as a result of having uncontrolled seeps at a closed unlined landfill. Any construction in the vicinity of the Keene landfill could have significant regulatory implications and costs for Albemarle County under the DEQ solid waste regulations and the state MS4 permit. The Keene site is a poor location for any structure, much less a firing range. For these reasons, I urge the board to either construct a safe, fully enclosed facility at a suitable location or act in a fiscally responsible manner and use existing local facilities. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next speaker is Morgan Butler, followed by Chuck Bolt and Kirsten Miles.
Good morning, Madam Chair, members of the board, staff. My name is Morgan Butler, and I'm with the Southern Environmental Law Center. I wanted to ask for a quick clarification on an item that's on your consent agenda this morning, and that's the critical slopes review cost estimate. When this item was presented to the board back in November, it was made clear that the changes would only apply within the development areas, and that we would retain the special exception process for critical slope requests outside of the development areas in the rural areas. And in particular, there's a statement in the staff report from November saying the disturbance of
critical slopes in the rural areas will continue to be allowed only by special exception. When I read the staff report with the cost estimate last night, it was a little bit confusing. There are some statements in there that arguably imply that it's only going to continue, this will only apply within the development areas. The fact that the open house notices would be mailed to development area property owners, they would need to map critical slopes in the development areas. But there are other statements in here that would appear to suggest otherwise. There's a statement, applications for special exceptions to allow critical slope waivers will no longer be presented to the board. That's sort of a blanket statement, which appears to have a broader meaning. And then when you actually look at the numbers that were done to determine how long it would take staff to recoup their costs, it's saying that going down this path would save roughly $25,000 to $30,000 a year. Meanwhile, the cost of critical slopes over the past, it looks like about 8 years, has been between $25,000 and $55,000. Staff concludes the expected return on investment is approximately 1 year based on the recent numbers. So that either means that these numbers where they took the critical slopes requests don't include any requests that were in the rural areas in them, or the assumption is that this program is going to cover all critical slopes requests. So I just wanted to have that point clarified. Thank you.
Thank you. Sheets here. Chuck Bolt is next. Good morning.
My name is Chuck Bolt, and I'm not here to talk about Scottsville, but I am here to talk about Piney Mountain again. I'm here to object to the special use permit that was granted to New Hope Church, and unfortunately now we have a site plan that was submitted that confirms the concerns that we've been raising are in fact there. Several of the changes we thought would be incorporated based on our discussions have not been made, and the church continues to demonstrate its unwillingness to be a good neighbor. What you approved is not consistent with what has now been submitted. There's more clearing that results in greater visibility from Route 29 in Dickerson. There's less buffer provided on all sides because of more tree removal. There's areas of critical slope has been expanded, and it's still not representative of the full extent of the critical slope on which you based a waiver. Stormwater retention bases are now more than they were originally, and the proposed entrance as submitted promotes congestion at the Dickerson intersection, and the list goes on. We've experienced a county staff who will not keep our supervisor, us, informed in a timely manner, who will not meet with VDOT on this project to confirm that the church's representation of the entrance options were not correct, is not enforcing the intent of the critical slope rules, is interpreting the 100-foot stream buffer in a way that promotes the very thing you don't want, which is continued stream degradation, not improvement. And that list goes on. I'm here again to request that you insert yourself and that staff not be allowed to approve this plan without your oversight. People have been saying here today and the last time I was here that your actions affect people. They do. And Thomas Jefferson's comment is correct. We live in a unique place, and your actions have a ability to impact positively or negatively that place. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Kirsten Miles is next, followed by Carol Thorpe and Earl Smith. Is Kirsten Miles here? I do not see her. Is Carol Thorpe here?
Good morning, supervisors. My name is Carol Thorpe. I live at 1318 Oak Tree Lane in Albemarle County. I have a 17-year resident. I have a son who attends Albemarle High School. I'm a taxpayer, homeowner, and I'm here today with outrage that there is an admitted sex offender sitting on this dais representing the county. He may be elected by the citizens of Scottsville, but he represents everyone in Albemarle County. He's brought tremendous shame. And this isn't a situation where he has accumulated some traffic tickets or perhaps has maybe been pulled over for DUI. When a woman told him no, he didn't accept that answer. He's gone through the legal process. He's admitted his guilt. There's not a question of he said, she said in my eyes. Chris Dummler's admitted to this crime. And as far as I'm concerned, and I hate to say this, but Ms. Malik, especially as a woman sitting on this dais, and especially this morning to vote as the way that you did, to not censure him as a woman, I find that very offensive.
I made the motion to censure him.
Okay.
I voted in favor of that. I just want you to know that. It was unanimous.
But did you vote? But did you vote to? You voted to censure him?
Yes.
You did. My apologies.
I just want to clarify that.
Thank you for the clarification. I apologize.
The unanimous vote.
I apologize for that. I would call on the people of Scottsville to do what you are to do in a unique position, which is to go through the petition, to do whatever you can. And Mr. Dummler, just to appeal to you, I know that there is forgiveness. We all make mistakes, just as I made a mistake. Human beings do that. But I would hope that within you there is some sense of propriety, some sense of goodness that tells you that, you can step forward and do the right thing. And I hope that you will resign. And I hope that if you don't do it on your own accord, that the folks of Scottsville will do that. Thank you.
Earl Smith is our next speaker. And after Mr. Smith, we come to the end of our list. If there are others who would like to address us today, please come down to the front and have a seat, and you may take your turn. Good morning.
Hi, good morning. My name is Earl Smith. I live at 5166 Viewmont West Drive out in the county. Been there since 1976. I would like to just quickly say, I don't want to fill you guys' ears up with everything else and keep reiterating facts. I am adjacent with the man, the businessman. I hardly ever see Alamar County ever consider anything that makes money for the county. I would implore you to actually look at some of the indoor ranges around. I don't know if you know, but a specific thing is you have to buy the ammunition from an indoor range if you open it up to the public, which that verifies it's a business transaction. That's tax money that could help pay for the offset of the police officers and stuff like that. You have training available that you could do for the community. So I just want to ask you guys to actually look at that as a business thing that would bring money back into Alamar County. The second thing, I have been asked by a tremendous amount of my friends to have a petition for recall a vote for Christopher Dummler. I personally went to the State Board of Elections. They helped me draft it. I have it here. I only need 372 votes, which myself have almost collected that many. I have several other friends, and I'm not going to berate the man. Everybody makes mistakes. I agree with Mr. Rooker. Not all the time, but some. Just right now, I believe everybody has a chance to do everything. I'm not affiliated with any group. I've been approached by several people they want to grandstand, they want to do this, they want to embarrass people. I'm a man of action and right and wrong, okay? I will continue with this petition. I will bring it back to you when I get, personal goal is to get at least 1,500 signatures. I almost have the 372 that's required by the State Board of Elections to recall a vote. So just want to let everybody know that I'm not going to ask Mr. Dummler anything about stepping down or being honorable. I'm going to prove to you that this is what we need to do. And if that's what my constituents around me want to happen, I'm going to make it so. So thank you all and have a great day.
Is there anyone else who would like to address us on any topic this morning? Mr. Payne.
Good morning. I'm Vic Pena, and I'm a resident of Albemarle County and a taxpayer. I wasn't going to bring this up, but I'm a retired Army colonel, former brigade commander under which I had numerous officers. And I'd just like to pass on to the board by way of comment and education. The Army and indeed the armed forces have what is called the Uniform Code of Military Justice. Within that code, Article 133 allows prosecution for conduct unbecoming of an officer. Captain, I would have hauled you up for charges. Having said that, it was my initial intent to support my friends in Scottsville and in the Keene area opposing the firing range because, quite frankly, it is too small to be an outdoor range due to the calibers of the weapons that were going to be used. I signed up to speak yesterday afternoon, and regrettably, I haven't been called. But I had a slide that I was going to show that showed a shooter aiming at the generally accepted flat trajectory of 5 feet, 6 inches into a berm where the target theoretically is. At the moment of squeezing that trigger, that shooter is disturbed by anything. My cartoon shows a bug. And that bullet flies beyond the berm and the eyebrows and all that. This presents a risk. Ricochets present the same risk. 1 out of 1,000, 1 out of 10,000, 1 out of 100,000. I don't know because data just isn't available, but ricochets happen. Errant rounds happen. What risk are you willing to pay? I heard that you were going to look at costs. That's very good. What is your price point for risk? With that, I leave you. Thank you very much.
Good morning. My name is Harold Piller. I live in Scottsville. I'm here to ask you to consider more options than the option of location, which you have put off today. There's the option of, do we need a firing range at all? The second option that should be considered is, do we need an actual firing range or a virtual firing range? I think these options should be considered. And the other options are, is this going to be just for police, or can it be opened for the public with the training that we need now in our society for armed citizenry? And I hate to admit it, but that's where we're headed. And I hope these options are considered along with the option of location. And I think that it should really be studied by our staff and not just by the police department. I think it should be discussed by people that know how to make decisions on a decision tree or with a PERT chart or something like that. But to go this way and just say thank you for postponing the Keene landfill decision isn't enough. Do we really need a landfill? Do we really need a live round firing range? Excuse me, I said landfill, but I meant firing range. And do we lease it out to a private individual who can make a business out of this? Do we build it with a private individual and provide training for citizenry? Those are positive things that this board can do, and it could lead the way for, as we have before in this country. Thank you.
Who else would like to speak today?
My name is Audrian Wellborn. I really wasn't intending to speak today. I have been a resident of Albemarle County, Jack Jewett District, for 42 years. I've been following board activities and government, local government, most of the whole time, especially school board issues with our kids. One of the points I would like to make is that I don't feel that we should be excusing bad behavior by pointing out other bad behavior of other officials. That does nothing to improve the overall quality and character of Albemarle County, which I'm very proud of. So I would like to point that out. And even though I'm not a resident of Scottsville, every decision and every vote that a board member makes impacts everybody in the county. So I feel like we do have a responsibility to speak up. I admire the board for the censure vote. I'm glad you did that. I also recommend Dwayne Snow's resolution, and I would ask that Chris Dummler step down from the board. Thank you very much.
Ms. Thomas.
It's sort of old home week with a number of other former board members coming here. And one of them commented that this was a low point in the Board of Supervisors' history. And I agree that it's a low point of the Board of Supervisors when threats are hurled at a member of the sitting board by former members. The threat of a shooting range brought together the residents of Scottsville, one of the speakers said. The charge of sexual battery and a misdemeanor conviction could bring together a contemplative body. Or its members can duplicate schoolyard tactics of piling on one kid. A misdemeanor by one member is not nearly as bad a black eye as the hypocrisy of wanting to rid the board of a member who votes differently on important issues. It's hypocrisy to hope this issue will distract the public from more public missteps of this board. Chris asked his friends not to speak today, so I don't speak as a friend. But like Forrest and Peter and Dwayne and I think all the rest of you, I speak as one who feels fiercely defensive of the honor of the Board of Supervisors. I need to speak because my definition of honor is that hypocrisy is a lasting black eye pulled together for the good of the county.
Hi, my name is Cynthia Neff, and I'm a resident of the county. After sitting here today, I'm reminded that he is who without sin should cast the first stone. I don't know how many people here in this room, but not too many that I've talked to over the past couple months, claim to have managed to get through their youth without being stupid. It seems youth and stupid sometimes go together. This has been a very difficult time for our community, and I certainly understand for Mr. Dummler. But one of the facts that I do know is that we might not be having this conversation here today if Chris was a wealthier man. If Chris didn't, you know, earn a few bucks from the JAG Corps, from being a Board of Supervisors, and from trying to start a law career down in Charlottesville, he has spent more on legal defense over the past few months than he earned in 2011 or 12, in 2012. And I just think, you know, for those of us who suspect that it takes a lot of money to get treated fairly by the judicial system, it's true. Chris Dummler had to accept a plea deal because he couldn't afford to continue to fight this case. And while I know that that doesn't change what he pled to a misdemeanor because that was offered to him so they could all make this go away. I would also remind us, none of us were in that room. I've heard people who are making quotes and accusations that aren't even true based on the little bit we've seen published in newspapers and in the media who have covered this voraciously. And I would just like to see us say, you know, while everybody says, and I really did, Dwayne, I was very touched by your comments this morning. I know that they were very heartfelt, and I respect those. But the fact that almost everybody's speaking against Mr. Dummler as a Republican makes it a little tough for me to believe that there's not a bit of political opportunism here. And like Sally said, I would just hate to see that happen. I think we have an opportunity to come together and really make this board work, and I appreciate everything you're doing. I think it's great that all the people came. Thank you for the keen reins, but thank you very much.
Good morning. Board members, I think I have, I'm going to speak on two issues. Do I get 6 minutes? No, okay.
Two, actually, Mr. Chavan, okay. Correct?
Yes, yeah. John Chavan, a taxpayer. Actually, a lot of taxes, but that's okay. I'm going to speak frankly, nuts and bolts. I know the Board of Supervisors don't get paid $200,000 to do what you're doing. Is mostly out of your goodwill, your volunteer work. And then when you call 911, do you expect the police to properly fire his gun? Sure you do. Well, he needs some training. So when the Board of Supervisors come up with plan A, plan B, plan C, don't come and say, no, 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 no. It can't happen. Give these guys a breathing space. Let them do what they're supposed to do. Unless you build a wall around Albemarle County and make a law that no one can have any more children, yes, you can keep this a rural area. Population's got to grow. We need facilities, so please give our Board of Supervisors a breathing room when they're trying to do their job. Secondly, I've met Mr. Dumbler many times. Great guy, you know, good guy. However, if I go to church and if I see my pastor's been convicted of certain things, I don't think he's supposed to be preaching to me. Don't you agree? So I also believe that everybody deserves a second chance, and I think Mr. Dumbler's got that. From a felony to a misdemeanor, that's a breather. That's a great thing. I mean, you know, he can still apply for federal jobs and many good things. But I don't think he's supposed to represent all of us. And secondly, I've applied to many jobs, and just want to let you know, when you apply for federal jobs, they even ask you, were you late on your mortgage? Did you break a red light? Were you speeding? And my dad, who lives in India, is appalled, and he really appreciates what this country stands for. He says, really? Are they so good? Are they so strict? He said, wow, what a country you live in, my son. God bless America. And I really, really want, I respect you all. That's why I'm here. I want somebody that I can come here and respect and say, he's a great man. She's a good woman. So I think, Chris, God has given you a second chance. Do the right thing and resign. Thank you.
Is there anyone else in the audience who would like to address us today?
Good morning, Supervisors. My name is Ray Humiston, and as a change of pace, I have the pleasure of living next to the cidery in Castle Hill, in Keswick. I'm not here to try to shut them down or be unreasonable. I think there's a lot of good stuff that goes on out there, but I do think there's a problem that we're focused on the noise, in particular on this thing, and I don't think there's anybody here at this point that can really promise us that this plan is going to work. It sounds good, and we think it's going to work and stuff like that, but nobody can tell us that for sure it's going to. And we're sort of betting with our money, and I don't think that's our responsibility. If there was a performance bond required for this, let's say, and somebody had to put up 50 or 100 grand, and they lost it if this thing didn't work, they'd say, absolutely not. I mean, nobody here is going to do anything like that. And they'd say, look, I'll at least test it first before I make that decision. But we're being asked to take that responsibility, which is really not fair. I don't know, it's unnecessary also. I don't know why we can't just put an event, put this in, run an event, and try it, and end the controversy. It's a very, very simple solution. There are other issues with this thing, obviously, that I won't rerun for the millionth time, but there's safety issues, there are economic issues. I mean, there's a little gain for the cidery, I'm sure, on this thing, but there's going to be a loss of property values around it. There's going to be an erosion of the tax base and stuff. There's an economic imbalance on this, but there's also a big compliance issue also. I mean, they have not done what they were supposed to, and I don't think it's appropriate to sort of take a leap of faith from that and jump way ahead. I don't know why this isn't about us also and our rights. We've made a beautiful place out there. We've got just as much rights to enjoy our stuff as they do to promote their business. And nobody out there wants this. I think it's safe to say that if any of you all lived out there, you wouldn't vote for this. I'm going to take 10 seconds. I'm just going to say, I understand a special event. That's not a problem. This isn't about trying to deny 200 people. This process that we're going through is really more about not earning privileges. It's about conforming to what we have right now. We're not ready to do this right now, and I think before we go forward, we should have a little more certainty with you, and then it's a lot easier to deal with. Thank you very much.
Is there anyone else who would like to address us this morning in matters from the public? All right, I will close that part of the agenda. We're going to take a 5-minute break, and I mean really 5 minutes only. And we will continue on with our public hearings. Oh, wait a minute. I'm sorry. After the break, we'll do the consent agenda. I'm sorry. I got off list here. And then we will come right back.